Jesus Christ, we continue to study the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Why do we study about Holy Spirit? It is to tell us at the end of this class, we shall know that we are so blessed. We are in the true church at the end time, and we are so blessed by God to have the true Holy Spirit to abide with us. So yesterday we were trying to get an understanding, correct all the wrong concept we were talking about. Speaking Holy Spirit, speaking in tongue, it's not only one of the spiritual gifts as other denomination they misunderstand, but rather we have known that actually Holy Spirit Himself is a gift from God. It's called Doria, and everyone will have it. Everyone will speak in tongue when they pray. But another kind of spiritual gift, what is it called? Charisma. And a special spiritual gift. Not everyone has everything. And one of the spiritual gifts, of course, is speaking in tongue in preaching, which requires translation. So nowadays, we don't see this kind of thing very often because we already have the Holy Spirit teaching us. So we shall continue. Let's see where we are. Okay. Let's once again emphasize the point. Now, after telling our friend which the gift of the Holy Spirit referred to two different things. Now, once again, we want to emphasize. In the Bible, the only evidence about a person receive Holy Spirit is speaking in tongue. The only evidence in the Bible. Because nowadays, people are saying that, yes, we have the Holy Spirit. Yes, we are touched by God. Yes, we see visions. Or yes, some say, oh, we receive the Holy Spirit. When we receive the Holy Spirit, what will happen? We fall into the ground. Have you watched in the TV some evangelists, when they preach, they say, oh, they tell the people coming out. They say, oh, receive the Holy Spirit. Lay hand on them, and what happened? They fall back. And they say, wow, they received the Holy Spirit. Of course, they have someone to hold them at the back. Otherwise, they'll knock themselves on the ground and hit the head injury. Some of them, they say, oh, after we received the Holy Spirit, wow, we fainted. So many different kind of experience about so-called receiving the Holy Spirit. But according to the Bible, according to the Acts of Apostle, the only experience about receiving Holy Spirit is the proof. The evidence is speaking in tongue. So once again, we have to flip to them all the Bible passages about speaking in tongue. The first one is in chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. Every time you bring a friend to come to TJC, make sure before they kneel down to pray, flip to the Bible to them, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. And underline this in your Bible. That the first time they received Holy Spirit, first, what happened is they saw a vision. The vision, like tongues of fire, separated on them, each of them, and they filled with the Holy Spirit, and they underlined, they speak in other tongue. So this is the very first time the Bible related these two things together. Receiving Holy Spirit, and then they speak in tongue. This is the trying to draw what happened on that day, right? When they were praying. Tongues of fire, you know, fire, the flame, really resemble the shape of the tongue. Especially you light the candle, you see the flame. Really look like the tongue. And tongues of fire fall on their head. And then they speak in tongue. So this is the vision on that day. This is another picture. Trying to depict what may happen that day. But anyway, of course, it's only an imagination. But the tongues of fire, when the tongues of fire is on them, the tongue just roll and speak something very fast, very powerfully. So now let's talk a bit about what does it mean speaking in tongue. Now, the tongue in Greek, that word is derived from the Greek word called glossa, which basically means tongue or a member of the body, organ of speech, or called a dialect. So what we say here in the Bible, the translation is direct translation, speaking in tongues, speaking in tongue. Usually now when we talk about a dialect, we will not use speaking in tongue to describe. We use the languages. We use languages or local dialect or languages. We won't use directly the word tongue. But why did the Bible specially use tongue to describe what they are saying? They are speaking in tongue. Obviously, it is related to how that sounds. Speaking in tongues is different than worldly languages. Now look at my mouth, or look at your neighbor's mouth. Okay, when you try to talk, what happened? Talk to each other. I'll give you 10 seconds to talk. Talk? Talk, 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 talk. Louder, louder. Huh? Okay. Okay, now you wake up, huh? Okay, good. 5 seconds is up. When you talk, what happened to your mouth? Yeah, your mouth must move. It involves a lot of movement of the mouth, the teeth, the lips, together to pronounce a lot of reasonable sound in our languages. For example, TH sound, you use teeth, right? B sound, you use the lip, or P, pa. So mouth, lips, teeth move together to provide lots of sound. But the spiritual language, speaking in tongue, is purely the movement of the tongue and produce the sounds. That's why the Bible says it is speaking in tongue. It's not by your teeth or your mouth or your lips movement. It's really only the tongue is moving. So this is very wonderful. On that day, once again, chapter 2, verse 3, they appear unto them tongues of fire separate upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they started to speak in tongue as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Okay, now let me explain to you. Let's look at verse. Okay, let's turn to John. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 24. Sam, can you read again? Okay, here tell us God is a spirit. Remember the very first time? We also mentioned about this. Okay, let's look at chapter 3, huh? Sam, can you read for us again? Chapter 3, verse 6.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit.
Continue.
Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again.
Verse 8.
The wind blows where it wishes, that you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the spirit.
Okay, underline this verse 7 and 8 is very interesting, very important. Now, if you look at this picture, sometimes you may think, why the very first time when the Holy Spirit descends, we have this kind of vision, tongues of fire happen to the people so that they can see. And this vision only happened once. It's not every time they visit the Holy Spirit, they see it. Clean the board for me, please. 帮我擦一下,我要画点东西。谢谢。 My guy's laughing. This is the same exemplary student. I give you bonus. Sorry? It's Korea. 안녕하세요. 감사합니다. 감사합니다. Okay. So, brother and sister. Now, when you light a candle, the fire, the tongues of fire, the flame is here. What happens when the winds come? Little wind blow. Of course, don't push it too hard, right? When you light a candle, you little bit. What will happen? The flame will what? will dance. Someone said, huh? We call it ribating or flittering, right? It's kind of move here and there because the wind make it blow. Now, when you see it moves, even though you don't see the wind, but you know the wind is there. This is what Jesus said in verse 8. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You heard the sounds. Now, sounds. When winds come, first, you have sound. You don't see the wind itself, but when you hear, you know the sound of wind. And when you see the flame movement of this flame, you know the wind is there. And Jesus compared this physical phenomenon as someone receive Holy Spirit will be the same. That's why in verse 8, so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So this is very interesting. Jesus compared this physical thing into a very spiritual experience. This is the wind. Now, in the original text, no matter it is in Greek or in Hebrew, the word wind is the same word as spirit. Of course, in English, we have these two different words. But in original text, they are the same, very same word. So that's why Jesus said, it is the same. When a person receives the Holy Spirit, it will be like this. Why? If you understand this, you say, when you receive Holy Spirit, you hear the sound. Right? You don't see God's Spirit Himself, but you see the sound. What kind of sound? When Holy Spirit come upon you, your tongue will be moved like tongues of fire. When the wind blows, you move so fast, vibrating so fast and produce some sounds. And just like this physical example. But of course, when you hear, oh, his tongue is moving fast, speaking, oh, you know he received Holy Spirit. Even though you don't see Holy Spirit himself, because God is Spirit, you cannot see. But you hear the sound, he is speaking in tongue, you know, oh, that person received the Holy Spirit. And of course, in some cases in our church, besides speaking in tongue, most members, when they pray, their hands really shaking. Especially before they really speak in tongue, they have some touch by the Holy Spirit. Some of them will shed tears. Some of them with the body, just start shaking. And you know it's getting there. Holy Spirit is around. It's really getting there. So we will tell them, pray harder, pray harder. You're getting there. You're almost there. And if they pray harder, really, just a few minutes later, they receive the Holy Spirit. So that's why this kind of sign you can tell whether a person is receiving Holy Spirit or not. Or have received Holy Spirit or not. So this is the explanation of this tongues of fire vision. It's very interesting. Underline verse 8. The wind blows wherever it pleases. That's why Holy Spirit can go anywhere. He can give it to you or he will leave. He can go wherever it pleases. Nobody knows where it comes from. But whoever born of the Holy Spirit will be like this. Now, if you can copy down all the verses about when a person receives the Holy Spirit, they will speak in tongues. This is all the evidence. Just copy it and underline in your Bible. Chapter 2, verse 11. The day of Pentecost, once again, all the Jews come from other places, heard them speaking in tongues. And their tongues has meanings, means praising God, wonderful work of God. I'll come back to that later. Chapter 10:46, we touched about it yesterday. For they heard them speaking in tongue. Peter and his co-worker heard Cornelius and his household speaking in tongue. So they conclude they have received the Holy Spirit. 19:6, Paul in Ephesus met a group of disciples. They didn't have Holy Spirit. Paul preached to them. Baptize them correctly, and then lay hand on them, and Holy Spirit came, and they speak in tongue. There's another direct mention. So when you think about, how to prove speaking in tongue is the evidence of the Holy Spirit, chapter 2, chapter 10, chapter 19, So three incidents. These three incidents is very unique. The very first one, Pentecost, is the very first time they receive Holy Spirit. The second incident in chapter 10 is the very first time preached to a Gentile house. Gentiles, non-Jewish. The third time, chapter 19, verse 6, is Paul talked to the people who were only baptized by John but never baptized Lord Jesus Christ's name. So, baptized again and lay hand and they receive Holy Spirit, they speak in tongue. And of course, they are also Gentiles member in Ephesus. So, these three unique recordings can confirm to us when you receive Holy Spirit, you have to speak in tongue like the day of Pentecost, like the apostolic time. Period. That is it. It's very clear and very definitive. So what is speaking in tongue? Very important. First, it is the language or the tongue of the kingdom of God. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans 8, 26. Can I have Amy Lynn read for us loud and clear, please? Now here tell us, Holy Spirit really is a mystery. Holy Spirit is inside us and praying for us with groans that word cannot express. Now, when you very first time go to a foreign country, you don't know the language. Every country has its language. For example, in America, most of us speak English here. If you don't speak English, of course, when you come here, you don't understand anything unless you learn, right? If you go to Italy, any one of you speak Italian here? Nobody, right? So if you go to Italy, you don't understand anything. If you hear them. Every kingdom, every country has its own tongue, own languages. Same. God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And of course, has his spiritual language that we don't understand. Unless you belong to God. Unless God gives you his spirit. So that's why. It's perfectly normal that people don't understand the language in the kingdom of God. Unless one day you also receive the Holy Spirit. Now here tell us, Holy Spirit really helping us. Even though you don't understand, but Holy Spirit really help you inside with the groans underline this phrase. The groans that words cannot express. This is the part which our speaking in tongue really edifies us. And really helping us. Now, as pastor or minister, we always dealing with members. When we hear a person praying, we kind of have a feeling that the spiritual level of a person. For example, sometimes when we go to visit the members, we kneel down to pray. Sometimes, of course, some people don't have the Holy Spirit so that they cannot pray in tongue. But someday when they pray in tongue, they're very weak. The tongue is very weak. Hey, sometimes you know, maybe spiritually there's something ongoing them. Their faith is very weak. Sometimes when you hear some members pray, they pray in tongue, but the tongue is very sad. Of course, you don't understand the literal meaning, but when you hear the tongue, it seems that, the person is very sad. Maybe we really should talk to the person and kind of see what happened. And sometimes we see another person, wow, praying free of the Holy Spirit, very joyful, the tongue just like running water. Wow, very mighty river. So, when you are in the Spirit of God, when you hear the tongue, even now, you are gathering here for 2 weeks when you pray, it's different. A member last night came. He didn't come to NYTS. But he told me, wow, I want to hear the student praying. They're praying in the Spirit of God. They're very powerful. God is filling them. You know, when we hear the tongue, we kind of know the spiritual situation in some cases. Because really, the tongue has meaning. Because the tongue is Holy Spirit inside praying to God for you. If you're very weak, of course, it sounds weak. So, the tongue, the language of God's kingdom. Now, secondly, let's turn to Acts chapter 2 again, verse 4. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Underline the part, they begin to speak in tongues as the Holy Spirit give them utterance or enable them. So when a person speaking in tongue, have to be from the Holy Spirit. It's not by human teaching or practices. Nowadays, some Pentecostal churches, they also emphasize Holy Spirit. And what do they say to their members? The pastor will tell the members, okay, now we pray for Holy Spirit. Are you ready? Are you ready? Yeah, okay, let's pray. Follow me. I say, they just produce some sounds. Of course, very fast too. I don't know exactly what they are. In some cases, they're different. But they'll tell the member, come, faster, faster, faster. Yeah, get in there. More, more, more. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. And then all the members, oh, yeah, yeah. Also, we speak in tongue. The teacher, the preacher, or the pastor will train them up. But of course, we know it's not by human learning. It's not by practice. For example, we tell you to say hallelujah, right? But preacher never tell you, hey, come on, hallelujah, faster, 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 become a tongue. No. Even you go very fast, if you have not speaking in tongue, you're not speaking in tongue. Doesn't really matter how fast you go. Right? When you visit Holy Spirit, even you say very slowly, you know, hallelujah, we become speaking in tongue. So it's not by teaching or practices or imitation. Even now, the young children, I saw 3 years old in the house, They can imitate. I saw one boy when visitation kneel down, wah, immediately. But you know he's speaking like us. But we know he's just learning, just copying. But of course you can copy, but how long can you last? A person can always copy what we do, right? But if it's by yourself, of course in some languages like Spanish or Italian, they also have this rolling tongue sound. Something like this, right? I don't know. I don't speak. They also roll the tongue. But you tell them, okay, can you do it for 1 hour? There's no way. 1 hour, mouth run dry, and the tongue become tired. Even 10 minutes have a problem. But we, really, it's a miracle that we are doing, we are receiving the Holy Spirit. When we kneel down, we can pray 40 minutes, 1 hour, the tongue rolling nonstop, and no, don't feel thirsty. Don't feel tired. The movement, the body can move without feeling tired. If you just do it by your own strength, I think after 10 minutes, you feel very tired. Right? It's Holy Spirit really moving you and deeply Spirit pray for you, and the tongue moving so naturally. You count the time, how often do we pray here? I think almost 2 hours every day. But do your tongue feel tired? When you say, oh, I am tired, I think nobody, the tongue is tired, right? When you say, I'm tired, it's only your body is tired or your voice is gone. But nobody will complain, oh, my tongue is very tired. Why? This is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's really from God. It's not from man. So we have explained the tongues of fire. What does it mean? So, not from the lips. Some churches, some Pentecostal churches, they proclaim, oh, they receive the Holy Spirit. But what do they say when they speak in tongue? They all use the sound like a snake, or the leaves, or the teeth. So it's not really speaking in tongue. A speaking in tongue must be the movement of the tongue. And also, speaking in tongue is not of worldly languages. Someone may say, let's turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Someone may say, you see, they speak in tongue, and actually they may argue in verse 6 that each one heard them speaking in his own language. So if you just read the verse like this, because in some translation it translates into different languages. Because at that time, they heard that some people hearing the disciple, they are speaking in 15 almost different languages. So we need the job we need to do is to prove in Acts chapter 2 they were not actually speaking in worldly languages. So we have to prove this. is very important. Otherwise, they may think when you receive Holy Spirit, maybe you can speak Spanish. Some say, oh, when I receive Holy Spirit, I never learn English, but I speak fluently. Some say this, or Korean, or Chinese, right? So how do we know receiving Holy Spirit is not speaking worldly languages? Of course, you have to look how do we explain in chapter 2. Now, on that occasion, day of Pentecost. When is Pentecost? Anyone can tell me what does Pentecost mean? You studied before, right? Especially the year 2, year 3. Pentecost mean what? Anyone? Pentecost. We always say Pentecost, Pentecost, Pentecost mean. Yes. Penta mean what? 50, huh? 50 days from the Passover Sabbath, Pentecost. So it's the they have a special festival. Everybody should go to Jerusalem to observe this festival. Now, at the time, many Jews are there. But of course, in the house, hundred 20 members are there. They were praying. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. And thank God, when they were praying, when they were waiting, we heard the wind blow. And then the vision. Vision. What vision again? Tongues of fire. And when they received this tongue of fire, the vision, and they start to speak something. Speak in tongue. Wow, utterance. Really powerful. Now, how do we prove these 120 people are not really speaking English or Spanish or Hebrew or Greek or anything? At the time, there were a group of a lot of people outside. So many of them outside. How do we know? Because the Bible tells us. Now, there are two groups of people outside. Now, here is the explanation. You can write down on your scripture or the notes, just some key points. And when you feature, if you really have to explain it, you know. First, if 120 people are talking together, if they really use the worldly languages, 15 of them. If you stand outside, will you be able to hear anything at all? Let me ask you, anyone have to dim sum? You like dim sum, right? Har gao siu mai. Dumpling, Chinese restaurant, really noisy, right? Can you hear anybody next table? Of course, your own table. When we have dim sum, we have to shout. Do you want har gao? Do you want... They want duck feet. Oh, yeah, I want it. Yeah, we have to shout so loud because so much noise everywhere. You really have to shout. But it's very difficult to hear the next table. But of course, it's impossible to hear someone in the corner. Assume that 100 people inside all speaking Chinese. You can't hear anything. How much more you cannot listen to anything if you were standing outside the restaurant? There's no way you can hear inside people talking. So if 120 people really using 15 languages and talking inside, there's so much interference. And according if you study physics, all these sound waves cancel each other. And the result is some noise. So if they were to speak different languages, nobody can hear anything meaningful. So by this, we clearly know that they were not speaking worldly languages. Now, the second point is, it is God who opened their ears. Now, underline verse 5, for the God-fearing Jews. Because they are God-fearing, they fear God. So God gives them understanding. They fear God, so God kind of... This is the year, just in case, if you don't know. this tongue, wow, pass through the air, go out the house, and they still be able to hear because God decoded this for them. You know, this is secret. You know, the spy, they never type email like you do, right? The information they send is all coded. So you have to decode the script to understand the deep meaning. So the Spirit of God, the speaking tongue, also secret. Doesn't mean nobody understand unless God decoded for you. Now God give them an invisible Bluetooth. Spiritual interpretation machine. Wow, so that when they hear, they see that these people are praising God in the Holy Spirit. But they heard them in their own language. In their own language. For example, when God talks to you, what kind of language does God have to use? If God have to talk to you today, like, brother, your mother tongue is what? Korean? Yes. So I think when Jesus talks to you, he will not use German, right? If in prayer or vision, if Jesus talked to you, I don't know, have Jesus talked to you before in a dream or anything? Not really, huh? Maybe in the future, we will, I don't know, huh? But if Jesus want to talk to you, of course he will talk to you in Korean. Because this is your mother tongue. God, Jesus will not use German or French. Otherwise, you don't understand. So, of course, God translated for them using their own tongue. So, of course, many, many people understand. This is the understanding given to them. We have a sister, a testimony I heard before. There was a sister one day praying in the church. She was praying for something. She was praying for somebody. But she never say it. She just pray in the Holy Spirit. Afterward, the prayer, the sister beside her asked her, "Hey sister, aren't you just praying for this in your prayer? I'll help pray for you." And then their sister say, "What happened? How do you know? How do you know when I pray this in my prayer?" And the sister say, "You said it just now in Chinese." "But no, I didn't say anything in Chinese. I just pray in tongue." Later, they understand it's a miracle because God opened the ears of the sister to understand, oh, when she prayed, she's really praying for something and understanding given to her. So all of your prayer has meaning. Some of you pray for yourself, but Holy Spirit also pray for you. If you can hear, if God give you utterance, give you understanding, you understand. So these God-fearing Jews, they hear, they understand, they praise God. But for another group, it's called mockers. They are not God-fearing. They are not respecting God at all. Verse 13, underline, some make fun of them and said, they have had too much wine in the morning. So this group of people, God simply just didn't understand. God didn't just open their ear and they didn't understand a word. You know, when a person speaks in the Holy Spirit, the tongue moves. And people will just compare, oh, when a person drunk also he cannot speak clearly. So they mock, oh, this guy is just drunk. I think many people, that's the same thing when they come into our church, hear our prayer. Some of them, when they are polite, they will say, oh, it's interesting. But some of them, they just say, oh, you guys are, they say, using really bad description, right? Or saying that, oh, you guys are drunk, what happened to you? I don't know what you're doing. It's perfectly normal. Even the first time when the Holy Spirit was there, two mixed response was there. So today, when we preach the Word of God, when we invite people to the church, be expected people are not used to the prayer. It's nothing strange. Don't feel hurt that people don't accept our prayer. If they are the chosen people of God, what will happen? They will not afraid. Even though they may not be opening their ears. I know some truth seeker. I know one truth seeker in Toronto is an old lady. The very first time she come to our church, we pray. She never been to our church before, and nobody explained about this, all this doctrine about Holy Spirit. And we kneel down to pray, and she said, wow, everybody kneel down. Maybe I should also kneel down too. She's from China, a very educated person. She kneel down to pray. She closed the eyes. She didn't even know how to pray. But when she kneel down to pray, she feel, wow. People just pray so loud, and it seems the Holy Spirit, something, he didn't know it's Holy Spirit, but something so powerful is hovering about his head. He can almost feel it. And then he feels so good about it. And then, of course, we tell her, oh, it's the Holy Spirit is touching you, want you to experience God. And then later, she keep coming to church, she keep praying, and she received the Holy Spirit later. And I also meet some truth seeker. When the first time they come to church, I ask them, are you scared of our prayer? They say, no, not at all. It's good. Just like this. So we don't have to worry. If the people, they are God-fearing, God really choose them, God will guide them, they will not get scared of our prayer. But if the mockers, even though we explain to them 10 times about all these deep things, they can explain, they can accept. So we have to be very confident about ourselves, about the truth, about the Holy Spirit. Yes, Alicia. No, of course, we should always try to invite them. If they are scared of the Holy Spirit, there may be two reasons, right? Maybe first, maybe they themselves are not ready to accept, or maybe we didn't do our job to explain. That's why yesterday, or the day before, I explained why we have to learn this. We have the responsibility to explain to all the friends who come the first time about Holy Spirit as much as we can. Of course, some people, some other truth seeker, also, the first time they come to our church, they heard our prayer, they're scared to death. But later, they keep coming more, and then they get used to it. So also, we have this kind of example. So it really depends on cases. We really have to keep inviting. Maybe one day, God will open their heart, and they will come back. Yes, brother. God can only do so much. God can give her the Holy Spirit. God can guide her. But it's also up to the person himself or herself to make the decision. Yeah, I also encounter some truth seeker. The first time they come to church, they receive Holy Spirit. God really wants to guide them. But because of other reasons, just like the parable of the sower of the seed. Some because their heart is hard. Some because they are too busy in their life. So many examples. We don't know. But we just do our part. God give them the Holy Spirit. God guide them. We introduce them. It's all up to them to how to keep themselves in the truth. So this is about the Holy Spirit. And number five, I think it's not new, but we have just talked about that one. The speaking in tongues is talking mystery. As we have said, it's mystery. No one understand, but even we don't understand our own tongue. But it edifies us. Number six, the more you pray in the Spirit, the more we get edified. So we really shouldn't be feeling ashamed or inferior. Sometimes when I go to a member's house, when I say, oh, let's pray together, the member will get very afraid. Away a bit, preacher. Let me close all the windows, close all the blind, and pray, don't pray too loud. Otherwise, the neighbor will get scared. I said, come on, we are not in NYTS 100 people praying, or we're not praying half an hour. Why are you so scared about other people hearing you praying? When I was in South Africa, one time I was visiting a church member who opened a shop, was from China. She has very strong faith, very simple faith in a shop in the village. So after the visitation, I asked them, okay, now let's go to pray. Let's pray. Huh? I was thinking maybe we just stand there and pray in silence, or we go into the room because there's a storage inside, maybe go inside to pray. But the sister said, no, preacher, we pray here. I said, we pray here. This is the cashier at the register. I said, are you praying here? He said, yeah, we pray here. Just pray here. Okay. Do we have to close the shop for 5 minutes first and then you pray? He said, no need. Just pray here now. We pray. What if some customer come in during our prayer? Don't mind them. We don't do business now. Just pray. I was like, okay, we just need to pray. Hallelujah. And I feel the Holy Spirit. Wow. She's very brave. She's not feeling that, oh, we receive the Holy Spirit, we are shameful when we pray in tongue. Nothing shameful. We pray in tongue. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a miracle. Another preacher bear the testimony when he went to Singapore. Coming back, the members sent him into the airport. In America, maybe one brother was sent to the airport, but in Singapore, when you go, wow, many youth go there to send you to the airport. And in the airport, the local pastor said, let's pray for the preacher to fly safe. And 10, 20 youth just pray, hallelujah, just pray in tongue in the middle of the airport. Wow, that preacher from America really impressed. Wow, Singapore, you really have strong faith. Huh? Don't afraid of praying in the public. Really, what we are doing is right. It's according to the Bible. Don't feel ashamed of ourselves. If you don't feel ashamed, nobody will feel ashamed on you. All right? This is very important. Speaking in tongue is one of the most powerful miracles that God given us. Even 5 years old can speak in tongue. Even 60 years old can speak in tongue. Now, but the problem is, nowadays, the devil is very cunning. Devil will also know that nowadays, many, many Christian denominations also pursue speaking in tongue. And he knows the way to confuse them is to also allow some of them to copy, to try to speaking similar things, to confuse them so that they may know that they also speak in tongue. Now, the most difficult part nowadays is when you preach to a friend from another church, you tell them, we are TJC, we have the truth. We speak in tongue in prayer. What do you say? They say, yes, thank God, we also speak in tongue. Wow, that's difficult. In the past, they say, they don't pursue this kind of spiritual gift. But nowadays, more and more churches will say, we also speak in tongue. And some of them, even though their tongue may be similar than ours. There was one truth seeker coming to the church. Really, when he said, I have the Holy Spirit already, tell him to pray. Oh, really? It really sounds like us. Now, that is the tricky part. If someone come, they say they speak in tongue, their tongue also roll. What do you say? It's very tricky, right? But don't just be alarmed. The Bible said, let's turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 15, verse 16 to 17. John 14, 16. Kyle, can you read for us loud? Mm-hmm. 17, can you read? Underline verse 17. Holy Spirit, the Counselor, is the Spirit of truth. Very important. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. Now, once again, Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Why? Because God is also truth. When you have the Holy Spirit will teach you all the truth. When you obey the truth, God will give you the Holy Spirit. So this is very important. This mutual. Because God is Spirit and God is also truth. So if any church, if they claim we have the Holy Spirit, we have speaking in tongue, just like you, no problem. We said that, no problem at all. I don't criticize you. I don't judge you. But let's discuss the Bible. What is your faith like? Okay, if you say you have the Holy Spirit, okay, let's discuss. Does your church keep the Sabbath? No, somehow we keep Sunday. Sabbath days belong to the law. The old time. Then you're 100% sure it's not the Holy Spirit. If somebody have the Holy Spirit must tell them the truth. At the same time, why 2,000 years ago, after the apostle died, Holy Spirit left the church? Because they changed the truth, so there's no more Holy Spirit. So these two things are together. So when someone just comes to you and says, oh yeah, we also receive Holy Spirit in your heart, you just be prepared, no problem. But ask, what is your water baptism? What is your Sabbath? Do you keep Sabbath day? Do you have Holy Communion according to the Bible? Do you have foot washing? And of course, if they don't know it, then we are quite sure it's not the Holy Spirit. Even though they can produce some sounds, just like young children can also copy. I'm not saying that they may copy, but in many cases. So we have to discern the Spirit. So, how do we receive the Holy Spirit? For most of us, we have received it. But for a few of us who still haven't received it, don't lose heart. Because Holy Spirit is a promised Holy Spirit. God will give it to us one day. We just keep praying. But of course, there's a few points here for us to remember. The first one is repent. If we have been praying and praying and praying and still haven't received the Holy Spirit, there may be something hidden in our life, our heart, our behavior, that we have not truly, truly repent. What I'm saying, we may not be 100% necessary, but we might. There was a sister praying for the Holy Spirit for so long and haven't received it. She tried all the way, all the method, crying, shouting, but still didn't get it. Until one day in the sermon, she heard from the preacher in the sermon saying that we shall love each other. We shall forgive each other. Now, suddenly she think, I have not forgiven someone in my life. Who is that someone? Her mother-in-law. You know, woman, I mean, sisters, really difficult relationship is with the mother-in-law. Now, most of you are single. You don't understand, huh? But if you're married one day, you know, this is one of the most difficult relationships to handle under heaven. And you will be in between two women, and also very difficult. If not God giving us wisdom, there's no way. So that sister was thinking, I really doesn't like my mother-in-law, and I really cannot accept her. Oh, maybe that's why when I pray, God doesn't hear my prayer. So in her prayer, she prayed to God, God, please forgive me. I know nobody is perfect, but I really shouldn't be hating my mother-in-law and not forgiving her. When she prays, she repents, and guess what happened? In that prayer, she received the Holy Spirit. So if we have been praying for something, if we have been praying for the Holy Spirit for so long, and we still haven't received it, maybe there's something hidden. Secondly, baptize. In most cases, you have to get baptized first before you receive the Holy Spirit. Of course, there's some exception, but mostly you have to baptize. Thirdly, follow the truth. Let's turn to Acts chapter 5, verse 22. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. Sam, can you read for us? Loud. Holy Spirit will be given to those who will obey. If we don't obey, Holy Spirit will not be given to us. If we have our own will, have our own way, Holy Spirit will not be given to us. And of course, lastly, we have to pray really earnestly. I know if it's up to your age, if you still haven't received the Holy Spirit, sometimes you may lose heart. But don't lose heart, please. Keep on praying. Maybe today you will receive it. But every time we have to pray like, this is the last time I have chance. Don't pray like, oh, maybe tomorrow, maybe next time. We have to really put our heart and effort in our prayer. So, this is about the Holy Spirit. Is there any question? I've talked a little bit about using three sessions to talk about the doctrine-wise, the comparison, the function. Is there any question so far? Yes. Chu. Abby. Chu, right? Okay. You mean other denomination? Once again, our position is we don't criticize, we don't judge what are they receiving or anything. But we are sure if a person receives Holy Spirit, he will understand the truth. This is the first point. Secondly, even though they may have the they may not have the complete truth, or may not have the Holy Spirit, but they may also receive some grace of God, material blessing, healing, touching in the heart, that's possible. But still, because they didn't have the truth, they didn't have the Holy Spirit, we have the responsibility to rescue them, save them, bring them into the true church to receive the true Holy Spirit. Yes, brother. Thank you for sharing. So Holy Spirit is so wonderful. For conclusion, we have to know that we are so blessed. And we are so blessed, not only you are in the true church, but you have God in you. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling. So don't let the Holy Spirit stand idle inside, do nothing. We have to pray every day that Holy Spirit help us to work something in. Some people may ask, just to conclude, right? Somebody may ask, look at him. He claimed that he had the Holy Spirit. When he kneeled down to pray, he speaks in tongues so loud. But look at his behavior. Are you telling me he has the Holy Spirit? How can I explain? Yeah, truly, some people in our church also have Holy Spirit for a long time when they pray in tongue. But their behavior is so bad. How to explain? It is not the Holy Spirit has something wrong. It's he himself didn't let the Holy Spirit to correct his or her behavior. So we have to let the Holy Spirit to work mightily inside us to transform us. Okay, let's pray in silence. Amen.